Well, tonight we're going to continue talking with Pat about his role in life, where we left off last week. But the first part of all of this is for everyone, so listen carefully. Long ago, in another time and place, in preparation for coming alive in the formed universe in a new and different role, you made a promise. And it was in 2006 that we did the promise cards and did the gathering on promise. And that was an outgrowth of the 02 gathering on declared self and purpose. Tonight we're expanding that. We want to find out about Patrick's role. So we want to expand that promise and to see if we can find a little bit more about his role in life. So, everyone else has gone through this. You promised. But I suspect that since you don't even know what it's like being you, you probably don't remember your promises. Anyway, you all promised, I will create and live all things in myself and life and in the world around me by fully embodying and giving form to my finest beliefs and promises.
Sorry, what was that again?
You promised, I will create and live all things in myself and life and in the world around me by fully embodying and giving form to my finest beliefs and promises. Should I say that again?
Thank you, that's good.
And then in return, the universe promised to always support you by never interfering and by being a consistent and reliable environment for you to be alive in. And the universe, in only reacting, is fulfilling that promise even today. The question is, how are you doing at fulfilling your promise? Are you embodying and giving form to your finest beliefs and promises? In fact, are you even willing to promise to embody and give form to? No, I dropped a sentence out of there. Or are you even willing to search for finer beliefs and promises to embody? In asking you what is it like being you, I was trying to give you new thoughts to think with and new concepts to think about. You don't seem to do that. You keep using the same old thoughts. I think maybe you can change the concepts, but you use the same thoughts to think with. You haven't accomplished anything. You got to change both giving yourself new thoughts to think about or with, and new concepts to think about. So, what is it like being you? Well, even why did I ask that question? Nobody has the vaguest idea, I suspect. So we'll see. But that's for next week. That's not this week. Tonight we're going to look at some of this through Patrick's. Last week we discussed his role in the universe as being a beacon. Or we should say Patrick selected his role as a, described it as a beacon. A beacon can be like a lighthouse that is warning of rocks. Or it could be like a light at Alexandria, the harbor in Egypt, that guided ships to the harbor. So are you a warning, Patrick, or are you a guide?
I'm a guide.
Okay, so that's what you meant by beacon.
Yes, and very specifically, the image was as of that lighthouse at Alexandria.
Okay, but now, what does the guide mean, and what does the beacon mean? And what we're going to do is, like I said, in 02, I gave you a book, and we did the gathering on declared self and purpose in life. And then in 06, that book, by the way, was written following the process of the I Ching, which is the book of changes. That was the book of declared self and purposes. And that's been modified to be the book of roles. Roles and promises. So we'll consult that book tonight, if Patrick's willing.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions, Patrick, and I only want yes or no answers.
Okay.
And these yes and no answers will, what you're doing is you're selecting a chapter in the book of roles as to which chapter best reveals your role or guide in life. So it depends on your yes and no answers. Are you willing to live your role and promise in life by introducing others to their role and promise and supporting and guiding them in living that role and promise as they truly desire? Yes or no?
Yes.
Do you understand that struggling to understand and live your role and promise maintains your not being and living your role and promise?
Yes.
Do you feel you may not be able to live your role and promise without support, guidance, and special teaching?
Yes.
You want me to read that again?
Yes.
Are you growing uncomfortable about losing or changing a familiar identity?
Yes.
You know, you can answer no, too.
I appreciate that, but...
Answer them the way you feel is correct. Do you see things as they really are?
I didn't hear that.
Do you see things as they really are?
No.
There's a no. Does your old self-image and identity stand in the way of living as you truly desire? Have you found it difficult to let go of your old assumptions about life and reality?
Yes.
Are you fearful of ending your old habits, even those that are not serving you as you desire?
The fact of the matter is, yes.
You looking for a role in life, are you looking for a role in life? So you can get away from your usual life for a little while.
Yes.
Is your search for a role in life a true beginning?
Yes. I'll answer that one yes as well.
Do you have doubts about your role in the universe?
And that one was a no.
Though you may have knowledge about your role in life, are you unmistakably acquainted with your role in life?
No.
Just a few more. Does it seem in any way that living a new role and life is like a death sentence to comfortable old beliefs and habits?
Yes.
Have you abandoned your dreams?
Yes.
Have you been waiting for some meaningful purpose to come your way?
No.
Have you become, through judgment, so reactionary that you cannot or will not change except when events or individuals force you to change?
I have to answer that one as yes.
Are you really willing to see matters in ways other than as you believe them to be?
Yes.
At times of expanding your self-awareness and creating enhancing personal changes, do you feel that it is best to separate from family and friends and familiar environments and actions and go on a journey of self-discovery?
That's almost a maybe, but given that that's not an option, I'll say yes.
Well, now we know what out of the book of roles you have selected. Let's see if we can.
This is where the sponsors come in.
This is where?
This is where the sponsors
pause for a
come in
from the sponsor.
While you figure this out.
Oh, I can.
This is the do-do-do-do-do-do.
You are open over open. Is what we,
and that is?
Number two.
Oh.
And that's. And now we'll read number two. It may sound very odd, but this is what you promised, and this is your role in life. Receptiveness. My role in life and promises are always living and revealing that embracing, modifying, and living all things equally reveals me to me and life to me. Being defensive and self-protective is the first step to lack of awareness and to an endless and futile struggle with judgments and living what I do not desire. New vigor, opportunities and experiences will arise when I change the beliefs, thoughts, and attitudes which prevent my being. Why don't you read this? Can you see over there?
Yeah.
I'm going to have a soft voice read this to you.
Where were you?
I don't know, about the third line, about in there.
And to an endless and futile struggle with judgments and living what I do not desire. New vigor, opportunities, and experiences will arise when I change the beliefs, thoughts, and attitudes which prevent my being more receptive of myself and others. Living as I truly desire requires infinite receptiveness or strongly disciplined self-mastery and confidence. Which path is appropriate for me? Through receptive eyes of understanding, I will see myself and others and all of life in a new light of promise. There is a vast difference between believing in receptiveness and living it. Where receptiveness lives, forgiveness does not abide. If forgiveness is necessary, receptiveness is absent. Allowing myself to dream the dreams I truly desire will expand my promise and receptiveness, so I can live my life from a larger, more receptive concept of promised self and life. I am the creation of all things in my life, not the receiver of life's events, and certainly not a victim of circumstances. I should be more receptive to myself and my own creations. I can change myself and life by making different promise decisions today. The more I am at peace with what I am in possession of, the easier it will be to change. I can be receptive to where I am and be happy about that and still be excited and grow. I won't let receptiveness hold me back or deteriorate into passivity, apathy, lack of compassion, or being a victim of situations and conditions. Receptivity does not mean I do not care. My promise is awakening to my true self and affirming my receptiveness to embodying and always living my true promised self as I truly desire. I can direct myself to step up the pace of my life and live in a calmer, more relaxed way through receptiveness.
So the questions are that I have for you. Are you living that, those beliefs, finer beliefs? Are you living those or struggling against those? Or struggling to live them?
I think that the most accurate is struggling to live them. It rings very, very true. And I see that the lack of receptiveness is a huge, huge barrier for me.
Well, how might you think you might go about being a guide of the information in your life to others or for others?
Well, I think being receptive is the key. I couldn't become anywhere close to being a guide to anybody if, in the first instance, I am not receptive to who they are and where they are and what they're doing. And that,
Can you remember that until next week, that sentence?
Yes.
Because next week I'm going to discuss why I asked, or unless you can, anybody can tell me out there, why do you think I asked you, what is it like being you?
Okay, I don't even think I need to take a note of that last sentence. I'll remember that.
Okay. Of course, the question that you are you willing to live your receptiveness and role and promise in life by guiding others to living their role and promise as they truly desire, not necessarily as receptiveness, but whatever their role might be. You see, the book the book of roles here could be a great guide or tool for you. And next week is important as well.
I'm going to ask a question here. The wording, you said you did in a kind of an upgrade or an amendment to the promise book. The wording seemed reasonably parallel to what we have in writing from you.
Yes, right.
But you've made some changes in it.
Well, I've directed it more in terms of your role and promise in life, not just a promise you made, but that the promise you made was to follow this role in life. And is there a difference between, in your opinion, is there a difference between your role in life and what you do?
Well, the role in I'd say yes, there is, and that the role in life sets an overall theme for my life, and what I do is the actioning that I would take that relative to that role.
So does even thinking that you have a role in life, does that change your relationship to life and to your...
Oh, tremendously. It brings, it provides a focus for my life. It instead of dealing with circumstances as they arise, I have a guide for myself about what my role is, and I can't live that.
I'm just thinking. I didn't fall away.
Can I ask a question while you're thinking?
Sure.
And that is...
I was thinking about banana bread.
We got some more in the kitchen.
It doesn't do me any good. So I'm going to have another glass of orange juice.
Are you...
I don't know.
Your book of roles anywhere near ready for publishing?
Well, all I have to do is modify it the way it was set up and just...
Put it into the new language.
You have to put it into the new language and the new punctuation. So essentially, it's all got to be rewritten and retyped.
Okay. But Misty, what you read, can you send that to me?
You have promise cards?
You got number two promise cards?
Oh, okay, yes.
You've got it.
And then, okay, I think I can rewrite that too then. Being consistent with the way it was read to me.
Now, in those first questions, you picked number two by the way and the manner in which you answered those questions. And that was an awareness sheet, part of the original declared self and purpose. It's a different way of entering the I Ching process. But what it does, it not only gives you an answer like role in life number two, but in picking that, you have some changing lines. 2, 3, and 5 are changing lines, which means that the role changes as well. So it's an active role in life. Whereas if it don't just say that is an answer only, receptiveness, an answer to your role in life, but your role in life as it goes along changes or modifies. It actually, from the bottom to the top, it becomes, let's see, actually, I gave you the wrong number. Can we do that over again? Although 2 obviously applies.
Well, receptivity obviously applies.
Yes.
There are no accidents.
But it's this over... It's 46. Roll 46. Do you want to?
Good old 46.
Good old 46, whatever it is.
I feel like I'm playing bingo.
Yeah.
Lessening limitations. My role promise is always living and revealing that all things are uncaused emergent miracles, and all growth and development is a lessening of self-imposed limitations upon my knowing and believing. Why do I limit myself from the wisdom and love and promise of life without judgments? What I think about grows. Am I creating and expanding my limitations or lessening them? Fully living and consciously expressing my self-chosen meaning and promise is the act of lessening my limitations, not one of increasing them. It also expands and deepens my awareness of all things. There is no power in the universe testing me to see how much I can withstand. The universe is for me, not against me. Therefore, I can lessen my need for protecting walls around me, for they have only closed me away from what I most dearly desire. I will lessen my walls of limitations. All the vital processes in life involve lessening limitations and beholding the promise and emergent miracles, not the causes, revealed there. It doesn't make one particle of difference what anyone thinks of me. In fact, that's none of my business. So I will lessen and lessen myself about that and live as I truly desire. I agree to carefully reconsider the thoughts and attitudes I am entertaining, for they are limiting me. My limitations are in charge of myself and life. Am I willing to make less limiting decisions and beliefs and have my life move in a different direction? Am I living and loving what I say I believe and desire? Am I always willing to share myself? Or do I tend to retreat behind protective excuses and limit my sharing and myself? Is it wise to continue in these ways? If I limit my trust, I will not trust. The same is true of love and sharing. My cherished beliefs and ways are seriously limiting me.
Now read 15.
Now I will read 15.
This is how your promise grows and expands and changes.
Okay.
I can just turn the pages. Okay. 15. Moderation. My role in life promise is always living and revealing that great matters can be achieved without creating unnecessary struggles, dangers, or possible losses. Greatness is normal and ordinary, not extraordinary. I will not seek external changes or internal healings while leaving my beliefs, thought patterns, images, and attitudes essentially the same. I will change my promises and mental habits, and know that all things can be accomplished through steady, moderate actions. When struggling, I am struggling against myself, which makes matter more difficult. Just as the muscles in my body are strengthened with use, moderation, steadily applied, is strengthened through constant use. When meeting a challenge that seems not to have a good solution or treatment, stand firm in knowing that there is a fine answer in moderation. What I force pushes back. I will bring moderation and a resilient spirit to tedious or difficult tasks, and not doubt or underestimate the power of moderation. It is much easier to understand and live the power of moderation when I stop judging and release my preconceived notions. I will be open to expanded ideas and ways, to new solutions, to finer outcomes and greater promises, all of which are available through moderation. Little changes and accomplishments made over a period of time can produce tremendous results. Many people are unwilling to develop the moderate talents they possess. Am I one of those individuals? If so, I will not see or experience my exceptional abilities or promise. What a tremendous loss. I will practice what I know. And so ends the reading of Moderation. Not even a chuckle, huh?
You couldn't hear the affirming that Karen was doing across the table here.
I see. No, I couldn't.
No. So the change up over time, Roger, is that as I live lessening, I will see and live the importance of moderation.
Yeah. And,
okay.
And so it adds more to, because a promise is not just to do one thing, and your role in life is not just one thing. It's a ever-changing role in your life. So let's assume that there is something in all of this. How would you be a beacon to be these things? What would you choose to do?
I bring to mind right away is that I will provide written material.
Read 29.
And make that available in order to help people begin considering what it is that they are living in their lives and what they might be willing or want to live in their lives.
One of your questions was, are you willing to live your role and promise by introducing others to their role and promise and supporting and guiding them in living that as they truly desire? So I would say in that which you said yes to, you have to get more personally involved.
I have to, personally involved with individuals.
Not just right.
Not the amorphous, kind of bland public.
Not just write something and then walk away from it.
No, I have to engage with people.
Are you willing to do that?
Yes.
How might you use this in your work today? I mean, the presumption is not that everything changes and you become somebody entirely new, but how can you be a beacon in your life today? How could you do this in your life today?
Perhaps I find that I am acting as a beacon already in the field of relating with government. I find that my clients and people who are involved in the client company are awestruck with the power of government and have all kinds of panic reactions and powerlessness and you name it. I guess that's why they reach out for some kind of supportive services like mine in any event. But I seem to be able to calm people down and begin a conversation about what it is that they actually want from their engagement with government and what it is that they hope to have at the other end of it, and help them first of all narrow down what it is they actually want, and then I guess that moderation kicks in, that it's not, there is no silver bullet in the work that I do. It's step by step by step, seemingly small steps, that I engage my clients in towards achieving what it is that they they really want in that relationship with government. So I think that I'm a calming force. I show them, help them see what it is that they are actually after, and then I help them establish methodical, step-by-step actions in order to achieve what it is that they want from government.
But what are they? What about what they want in life?
I am to date. I am not doing much of that at all. Some of the younger client representatives, I get into conversations about what it is that they want in life. And I don't do it much with the senior people that I deal with. But I could. There's nothing really that's other than me that stops me from doing that.
But if you know of a person's or a client's role in life, would that change your approach?
Oh, goodness, yes. Yes, that would, absolutely. If I knew their role, it would be relatively easy to guide them and help them.
So, you could... You could know these things about your client, so it helps you relate to your client. You don't have to necessarily confront them with this information.
Oh, that's right. If I understand their role, it's much easier working with them. I become supportive of that role, and the advice and services that I deliver would be tailored to understanding that role.
What if it seemed like what they wanted from government and what they were doing seemed to be counterproductive to their role in life?
It's an interesting question, because I had one client that eventually got lung cancer and died, because that which he was wanted from government, as much as I kept on telling him it was a non-starter, it just wasn't going to occur. He just obsessed on it. And that his attitude was that if he just bullied them enough, he would get what he wanted. He was eventually let go, because even his board of directors recognized that he was a problem. It's not so much what he wanted from government as it is the way he wanted it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But would you, if you were in that dilemma, what would you choose? Would you continue with the client because you were paid to do that in the old ways, even if working against his role in life?
I was kind of, well, the actual circumstance was that, as I say, that his own board of directors were having problems with him, and I started getting requests for private meetings with individual members of the board of directors.
Yeah, but I'm asking you,
in general,
what stance would you take? Would you take a stance that knowing the client's role in life and et cetera is more important than dealing with the job he's hired you to do? Would you place more value on one or the other?
I don't. Ultimately, what I hold is the notion is that I could probably marry the two, but what they wanted.
That's right.
From government might morph some. I don't think it would work for me to choose one or the other in terms of having an ongoing relationship. I think I'd try to help them morph what it is that they want.
I'm thinking of an ongoing relationship with yourself in this regard, relative to him, but with yourself.
Oh, I don't think I never have, that I can think of, you know, openly prostituted myself, my own values, in order to keep a client. There are people who are no longer clients that I just simply didn't want to work with. But it wasn't from these kinds of understandings. We just weren't very compatible.
Yeah, but let's say that you had somebody that you knew going the wrong way. Would you stay with the money situation, or would you deal with them as this person is more important than the money that the income would bring?
Oh, I go with the person.
You say that.
Rather than the money.
Would you?
Keep the client.
I'm asking you because the problem is likely to come up. There's always going to be, or quite frequently, a conflict between what you feel is in your best interest and what your role in life is. And yet, your role in life is vital. And if that comes up, I'm just saying, if that rears its head, and I suspect that it will, which choice would you make? It sounds easy to say.
I would choose to stay consistent with my role rather than abandoning my role in order to keep the cash flow going.
Because I faced that myself, and I just wondered it. And so I know about that relative to myself. I'm just confronting you with the question yourself ahead of time. You need to talk about that with Karen.
We actually have that conversation quite frequently because Karen has more clients in number, given that she fills 1 hour appointments throughout the day and throughout the week. She has clients coming in, and we have new clients entering the picture, and she often wants to talk about whether or not she should go with something she's not comfortable with in order to maintain cash flow. And so far, both of us are of the opinion that it's not worth maintaining cash flow through an abandoning personal principles or values, and that she has let clients pass by or potential new clients pass by, because we're quite aware of that possible conundrum.
Okay, well, I don't want to bring you problems by awakening you to your role in life and being able to then awaken others, or for you to know in terms of others what their role in life might be, and awaken a conflict. But a conflict may occur.
I can see that it's quite possible that the conflict can occur.
Okay. Is anybody else interested in knowing more about their role in life, this kind of information?
Yes, I am.
Who is that?
Andrew.
Andrew.
Okay, well, I have to get another sheet here.
Okay.
So you can answer these questions. I'm going to give you another set of questions to answer yes and no, like Patrick did. With in mind what we're looking for, what might be your role and promises in life, okay?
Very good.
Answer yes or no. Are you willing to live without your old beliefs, judgments, feelings, and habits?
Yes.
Do your habits, activities, and feelings demand more from you than you are, than they offer?
I'm sorry, can you say that one more time?
Your habits, your activities, and your feelings demand more from you than they offer?
I think yes.
Are you filling your emptiness with undesired things and relationships and activities in the hope of relieving your feelings of barrenness or lack of significance?
I think yes.
Do your physical words and actions follow your spiritual beliefs and deeds? Or your promises and roles?
I think no.
Are you willing to commit yourself and life to service to yourself?
Yes.
See, even these questions are quite revealing. Would you describe your present lifestyle as desirable?
No.
Is your life and are your habits and activities and feelings chronically self-destructive?
Yeah, I guess so.
See, I handed these things out 13 years ago, so we're now going back 13 years ago. You probably never really considered these questions before. Though many people live without a sense of excitement in their life, do you tend to create a constant state of drama, anger, depression, or anxiety? Have your feelings taken on a life of their own, just as your old unreasonable beliefs and concepts and habits have taken on a life of their own, and now control and limit you?
Just tell me the first part of that again, please. Do my what?
Have your feelings taken on a
life
of their own?
Yeah, definitely.
Though you have had an image of yourself at every stage of your life, have you ever looked carefully and insightfully at the self in life, seen yourself clearly revealed in everything around you, and felt a great self and truth beyond everything you have ever known or lived and done?
That's a lot of questions.
That was a big...
Have I ever done that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you struggling with a sense of emptiness, of being alone, even in the midst of your family and friends?
Oh, yes.
Have you been trying to use and express sweet, compassionate feelings to hide angry or despairing beliefs, attitudes, and emotions?
Yes.
Are you now or have you been struggling with the distasteful task of having to bear up under your being unpleasant to yourself?
Yes, I think so.
Huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I thought you said yes or no.
Could you read the question again?
Are you now or have you been struggling with the distasteful task of having to bear up under your being unpleasant to yourself?
Oh, yes. Okay.
Do your present beliefs and attitudes confine your mind and imprison your emotions?
Yeah.
Did you know that you alone determine your problems and ailments? Or life as you truly desire with every belief, thought, attitude, emotion, word, and action?
Yes.
So humility is knowledge of your true self. Only a strongly empowered individual can be genuinely humble. Are you willing to fully empower yourself and be humble? When finally quiet and away from the restless commotion you believe is your life, do you sense an inner anxiety and alertness that your life is actually far greater than you ever imagined?
Anxiety and alertness that my life is greater than ever imagined.
That's what we're trying to do right now.
Right. So, yes.
Is intelligent, clear thinking your finest asset and your strongest opponent?
No.
Okay, now we've got to find out some information about your role in life.
So you did, while you're looking at Misty, how many questions you guys, how many of these, what do you want to call them, hexagrams did you guys do for this?
You do one hexagram, but I had to ask you three questions for each line.
Oh,
so
right,
we had 18
right. Okay.
Questions.
Oh, okay. I remember now. All right.
Surprisingly, you're the same as
Patrick
was in the first place, number two. Let's see how, read number two for Andrew.
What happened?
Is this really a number two this time?
Yeah, this is a correct number two. But two moves into let's see. Two moves into two moves into 24.
What does that mean? You got the way the book is designed?
Yes.
Okay. Because your role is changing.
You move from open into open over source.
Oh. In the questions I answered, I see.
Yeah.
So my movement is different than Patrick's movement.
Yes.
Aha, thank you.
And so your promises start off sort of like, but you change as you go along.
Okay.
So read number two and then read number, what did I say,
24. Okay.
So you start off as two in this lifetime. But as you go along, your role in life changes to 24, and then changes again later in life, when you get to be an old man like me.
Okay, you ready?
Okay.
Receptiveness. My role in life promise is always living and revealing that embracing, embodying, and living all things equally reveals me to me and life to me. Being defensive and self-protective is the first step to lack of awareness and to an endless and futile struggle with judgments and living what I do not desire. New vigor, opportunities, and experiences will arise when I change the beliefs, thoughts, and attitudes which prevent my being more receptive of myself and others. Living as I truly desire requires infinite receptiveness or strongly disciplined self-mastery and confidence. Which path is appropriate for me? Through receptive eyes of understanding, I will see myself and others and all of life in a new light of promise. There is a vast difference between believing in receptiveness and living it. Where receptiveness lives, forgiveness does not abide. If forgiveness is necessary, receptiveness is absent. Allowing myself to dream the dreams I truly desire will expand my promise and receptiveness so I can live my life from a larger, more receptive concept of promised self and life. I am the creation of all things in my life, not the receiver of life's events, and certainly not a victim of circumstances. I should be more receptive to myself and my own creations. I can change myself and life by making different promised decisions today. The more I am at peace with what I am in possession of, the easier it will be to change. I can be receptive to where I am and be happy about that, and still be excited and grow. I won't let receptiveness hold me back or deteriorate into passivity, apathy, lack of compassion, or being a victim of circumstances and conditions. Receptivity does not mean I do not care. My promise is awakening to my true self and affirming my receptiveness to embodying and always living my true promised self as I truly desire. I can direct myself to step up the pace of my life and live in a calmer, more relaxed way through receptiveness.
So the question is, do you understand the importance of this, like receptiveness, as a role in life? Not just your living here or doing that thing. Why is it so important as a role in life? I'm ready for an answer, anybody?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. Off the top of my head, I think one of the first things I think of is that for the last, you know, almost 2 years, I was fighting against the whole loner body notion. And in that, I think I was, cutting off from the self, or knowing the self and life I truly desire.
Well, I'm not asking you that question. I don't really care about you at all in asking that question. Why is this a role in life? Why isn't this something you're supposed to be or do in life? Why is it a role in life? How does this affect life?
It's a great question.
Does anybody understand all that I've said, that everything you do in creating your universe, you create the universe? Do you understand that? And when you live this, then the reactive universe actually lives right along with you, and you are creating the universe living in this way. That's why the role is so important to you and important to the universe.
The but universe, it's also important because it's of your own choosing.
Yeah. But the universe itself takes on a new and different role in life as well, in this.
The universe takes on a different role in life as well.
Yes.
That's Oh, right, sure. I see as it's reacting to me. I had never thought about the universe having a role. That's interesting.
When it's reacting to you, it's living your life right along with you.
Right.
And so as you live your role, it's living that role right along with you. That becomes a new role of the universe. Is that acceptable?
That's neat, actually. Yeah.
Does that change your perspective of yourself in life in relationship to the universe?
Big change.
Yeah,
it's like
instead of just being sort of a one way or another, it's a very interrelative process or action.
In other words, right? Instead of just being a little gnat in the universe, you are actually changing the whole role of the universe.
That makes sense. Wow.
But then again, so is everybody else.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But nobody ever looks at it that way. This is an advantage you have in this discussion right now, in knowing your role in life, that in living that role in life, you are changing the role of the universe in life.
I'll be danged.
What?
I said, I'll be danged. You know, talking about it in generalities is one thing, and then when you get specific like this, it's something else entirely. Very surprising. But yes.
Okay, well, that's the importance of it. So,
yeah.
The importance of living your role in life, you are changing the whole role of life.
Okay.
Now, as you go, that was your beginning promise. Now, as you go along, your promise changes to
repetition.
Which is what, number 24?
24.
Thank you.
My role of life promise is always living and revealing that all things produce after their own kind. Judgments create judgments. Grief maintains grief. Illness produces illness, and happiness continues happiness. Is my life and are my relationships repeating as I truly desire? Maybe it is time for me to be exceptionally creative and make dramatic changes or expansion in my self-awareness and perceptions of life and other. The absolute nature of myself is ever-changing, but my perceptions and expressions of myself are constantly repeating, seldom changing. When I do not achieve what I desire or have what I want, do I tend to become anxious and concerned? When I feel there are things such as belief, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions which I can't possibly stop or let go of, I am in bondage to those things, and they will continue repeating. In following others, have I adopted beliefs, attitudes, and actions which are not supportive, or as I truly desire, but which I can't seem to end? I will make certain that in every day some new idea seizes my imagination. It seems that I long to experience life openly, honestly, intimately, and lovingly, yet I am reluctant to be open, honest, intimate, or loving. Does that make any sense? I will constantly nourish and repeat my living the goodness, benevolence, and promise of all things. Most people, myself included, are experiencing and enjoying some improvement in their personal affairs, return to their previous life and ways as usual. Am I trapped in a repeated pattern of fear or doubt, of anger, of denial and ignorance, of hesitation, of healing? I can choose mindfully instead of mindlessly. Life changes begin with nourishing finer thoughts and desirable promises.
Question, is there a difference between life and the universe? So when you're living your promises, you are creating a new life in the universe.
Yes.
Is it creating life in a new way?
Yes.
Does anybody have any idea why I said last week I'd be the Chief Justice in a new religion?
I have an idea.
Do you understand then that as you do this, your religion is not what you say it is. Your religion is the life you are living. Like ISIS in the Mideast. Their religion is not Islam. It's murder and mayhem. That's their religion, murder and mayhem, not Islam.
Oh, that's very interesting. Okay, I see what you're saying.
So you're changing the very nature of life in the universe or on the earth when you live this promise, this role in life. And that really, 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 really extends into next week when we discuss why ever does anybody want to answer the question, why do you think I asked you, what is it like being you? What do you think the purpose of that question was? Remember now, what I'm trying to give you is new things to think, new thoughts to think, and new concepts to think about. So, can anybody suggest an answer to that question? All right, you have to wait till next week then, because I'm not going to tell you now.
I would suggest.
All right, what would you suggest?
I would suggest that, well, definitely for me, that is a new thought to think. Because as far as I can tell, the only self of myself I have known or been aware of is my emotions and reactions of my loner body.
What is the difference between awareness and self-awareness?
Well, that's a great question. I guess maybe like...
If there is such what?
Awareness is awareness of something, but not necessarily with any point of reference. Self-awareness is I'm aware of what that is relative to myself and life that I'm living.
Well, what if do you think is soul awareness?
Oh, well, I guess I would say soul awareness is awareness of everything and myself relative to abiding self and life.
Could you become aware of someone else's self? Or someone else's soul. We keep talking about this damn thing. But you, can you be aware of someone else's self or someone else's soul?
That's a great question. I don't know, personally. Does anybody else have a...
So you don't really know anyone or anything relative to its self or soul?
Okay. Do I only know it relative to its actions?
You don't know anything else, apparently.
Apparently.
And what are the actions don't tell you anything? So you presume a consequence from the action, and then judge that consequence. But you don't even know the self or the soul of the person you are judging. Is it possible that I asked you, what is it like being you, so that I could know what your self is like, so I could know you in that intimacy? And if you don't know yourself, do you think you could possibly know your soul, assuming soul means eternal or abiding? Your eternal soul or abiding soul.
Mm-hmm.
Could you know yourself in that way?
Right.
Don't you understand that when I am trying to get you to look at your role in life as being eternal, I am in that then trying to get you to see your soul self or soul awareness?
Thank you for that.
Because if I said to you, you'll resurrect, become one with God, that doesn't mean a thing. I'm trying to get you to see and know and experience yourself and your soul awareness. And I'm trying to make it possible so that you could see or know or understand another's self or another's soul. Look up the word empathy. This is a word I've had conflicts with all along. The word empathy seems to imply you know another person's feelings. But that's not true. You don't know their feelings, you don't know their awareness, you don't know their self, and you don't know their soul. You don't know a damn thing through empathy. Empathy is a projection of yourself onto the others. And that doesn't help the other person. And it certainly doesn't help you intimately know another person. So let me ask you a question, Pat. Is it important to you to you to know the self of Karen, the soul of Karen, the role of Karen?
Quite clearly it is, yes.
But how can you know that? You look at what she does and what she says and all these things, and then you project what it might be.
That's correct.
If you knew more,
and when that doesn't,
if you knew
and
more
when that doesn't
about,
turn out,
I guess one of us has to shut up. I'll shut up.
I was just going to say that when my projection doesn't turn out to be a true representation of who she is, there's always some kind of conflict or disappointment or an issue.
Same way with a client. But right
of
now,
of course, yeah.
Could you deal with your clients, and could she deal with her clients if she had soul awareness of them?
Oh, she most definitely could, yes.
How do you suppose we would gain this awareness?
I think either directly or indirectly asking the questions.
What is it like being you?
Yeah.
If somebody would really answer that question the way I asked the question and wanted it in terms of not situational. Situational is personal self. I want an eternal self. What is an eternal self or soul awareness? So having her answer that question would mean you wouldn't have to project or presume so much.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And yet nobody could really, aside from situational answers, nobody could answer that question as to what it is like being them.
No. It would be a huge struggle.
That's right. And so, therefore, what is it like being them eternal? What would this role is an eternal role. It's not a situational role or a one-time role. So it portrays you in a lot of ways in terms of a privileged being, how you have promised and agreed to be and live eternally. And we're down to more information than just making a wild-ass guess. That's the purpose of these questions. And you ask them in a certain order, and it gives me certain role information. It gives me soul role information, eternal information about you. I know then what it is you eternally desire. I know certain things about what you eternally desire and what you're struggling with in that regard. And I have enough information then to deal with you on that level, in that way, without just getting myself in the way. Like Einstein says, you only know others not as they are, but as you are. Well, we got to get you out of the picture.
Hey, Roger, I have a question. If you knew my role in life as receptiveness, as described in the way Misty read it, how would you deal with me?
Well, I would know the struggles you're going through from everything that she read.
Yes.
Huh?
I believe that for sure, yes. Okay, I see.
Well, does anybody have any more comments they want to add to this? Patrick, anybody?
I got more questions.
Okay, questions.
And that is, I quickly slipped into my office and pulled out the printed version of my personal awakenings. And then it has the I Chi grid, the awakening patterns in the beginning. So I haven't had time to go look for the outline or the book you put together for 2003, I guess it was, to do the I Ching hexagrams. Those questions that you asked me and asked Andrew, they are modified from the questions that you put in that book from 2003 or 2003?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll be able to find that. I have that in my library.
The presumption of the I Ching is nothing happens by accident.
Mm-hmm.
That there is a degree of awareness that's going on when you answer those questions. You are already aware of the section that will reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And you're then revealing that information to yourself. See, what I'm trying to do is to increase your awareness. If we can go, I'll take a little bit from next week, or then I'm going to quit. A little child starts off, he has a certain degree of awareness, and a child will speak of Johnny wants hamburger or Johnny wants something. Speaks of himself in a third person. Then one day he finally learns sort of a self-awareness, awareness of a self. And he says, I want a hamburger, or I want an ice cream cone. I probably said, I want pizza and beer.
Yeah.
At four.
Huh?
At four.
At four.
Yes.
I know at that age I was drinking coffee from my grandmother. But anyway, that's how a child goes from awareness to self-awareness. Now I'm trying to suggest you haven't gotten past that. And in most cases, you haven't really got an understanding of self-awareness. What is it like being you? Well, what is it like being you eternally is a question too, isn't it? That would be soul awareness. And so if we increase the level of awareness as we go along, if there's a way to do that, isn't there also a next step of, can you be aware of another person with any degree of confidence? The answer is no, you can't, because you're only projecting yourself onto the other person, or understanding them relative to yourself. You see, Andrew, I don't want you to understand someone relative to you. I want you to understand them relative to them. I want to get you out of the picture.
Okay.
Because if we're going to create a way of life that each person lives by their own authority, unless you really know another person, you start creating conflicts. So the only way we can do that is to find a way to increase your awareness to soul awareness, and then be able to increase your awareness to know another person. It's like a mind blend of Star Trek. Mind meld. Yeah.
Oh.
But I want it to be a self meld. But you got to be able to get yourself out of the way. It isn't good enough to just not judge. Well, anyway, we'll go over this next week, if anybody gives a damn. That was the purpose of the question of roles, and that was the purpose of the question of what is it like being you. If you tell me what it's like being you, then I know. I have that information without my interference. If I believe I know what it's like being you relative to myself, then I'm myself is interfering. I don't want that. So okay, well, we'll quit early tonight.